Latest numbers show that 1 in 68 children are diagnosed with being on the autism spectrum. That's higher than previous estimates of 1 in 88 back in 2012. That's according to the CDC. Perspectives of Autism is a panel discussion being held tonight at the Currier Museum of Art in Manchester. Discussion will focus on the symptoms of autism and support that is available. Brian Huckins is chair of the New Hampshire Council on Autism Spectrum Disorders. He's on tonight's panel, and he joins us now to talk about that. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
So, Brian, we've mentioned some of the numbers. What do you make of that, and, you know, what are we seeing here?
We think a lot of it has to do with the DSM-5, which now categorizes everything under the autism spectrum disorders, where pervasive development disorder may have been separate or Asperger's disorder may have been separate. So now it's all under one large category. And we see that there's also better diagnosis earlier and earlier by physicians. Physicians are getting better at catching this. Child care centers, schools are getting better at catching the signs. There's interventions that are great, that are, if you catch the diagnosis of autism earlier and earlier, you can get great early interventions, and which can lead to significant decreases in the amount of supports that a child or a young adult needs over their lifetime.
When we talk about all of these numbers, there are children identified on the autism spectrum disorder, but how wide is the spectrum? What are we talking about from what was considered more a mild effect to a more severe case?
A lot of autism is a communication issue of folks who are unable to get a grasp of how to communicate with what the normal society rules are around communication. So we have some children and some young adults who appear to have severe development disability, autism, who can't communicate well and can't do personal care skills and things like that. But in some of those cases, we haven't figured out how to communicate with them, how to interact. And there are some situations where it's like, where people have used facilitated communication, and it's like, wow, they actually do understand what's going on. And then all the way up to the range of folks who have what used to be Asperger's disorder and are incredible with numbers and things like that. So there's such an enormous range.
So catching these disorders early on is key and kind of minimizing the effects as children grow up and grow older. You know, what's the research out there that's showing that how some of these early interventions work?
Early interventions from the ages 2 to 5 is where you're going to see the most growth for a person. I can say, for instance, for my son alone, who was diagnosed at 24 months, that when he first was diagnosed, he wasn't speaking, wasn't talking, and we had the major concern that was told to us at that time that your child will probably never speak. And after we received incredible interventions and intense interventions, the kid wouldn't stop talking, and he made up for that very quickly, that lost time, I swear.
How are public schools doing responding to the needs of autistic students?
You hate to say it, but it's a little bit of a funding thing for each community. Some families, unfortunately, have to fight for what they need in certain communities, and other communities, they offer more right up front and are more proactive in their supports than reactive. That's a little bit of what we always hope, that people will be proactive, and which will lead to less support in the long term, which is what we're trying to teach the state legislators right now around the budget.
What's the biggest misconception about autism that you often hear?
I think people, once they get over the diagnosis and understanding what autism really is, I think people can move on and really understand that their child is a tremendous child no matter who they are. It's a change for a family for sure, but you can support the child, you can, you know, get the supports that you need in order to move on, but it's not a devastating long-term thing. Your child is your child no matter who your child is, and I know, for instance, I wouldn't want to cure autism for my child. That would be a completely different person than I know who he is, and I wouldn't even know how to react if that was someday a cure. That would be quite a dilemma, actually, if I wanted to cure him, if you will, because I just look at it, it's who he is, and that's who he is.
It's integral to his personality.
Right, exactly.
Brian Huckins is chair of the New Hampshire Council on Autism Spectrum Disorders. Brian, thank you for the time.
Thank you.